when we look at chapter 5, we find an account taking place, an account between the Lord Jesus Christ and this picture of the beloved, which is the church of Jesus Christ. And we find some tremendous themes here concerning who Christ is, but also we find some very sad themes in this chapter. Because we find in the verse 1, if you look there with me again, we find Christ coming to his church, coming to his beloved. He says, "I am come. I am coming to my God and my sister, my spouse." And how sad it is that in the verse 2, we see the response that was given in Solomon's account, but also the response of the church of Jesus Christ time and time again. And I submit maybe still tonight that the Lord says, "I come," and the church says, "I sleep." How sad that is when we think of the privilege of being in the presence of Christ, when we think of all that Christ has done, when we think of who Christ is, and as we looked last night, that in all things he is to have the preeminence, and yet the attitude time and time again of God's people and of our souls is, "I sleep." And sadly, there are consequences for when the church is sleeping. Because it says in the verse 5 and the verse 6, I rose up to open to my beloved. And look at the verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. I wonder, is that the problem today? Is that the problem for our hearts? That for too long we have our secret sins, our sins in our skeletons in the closet, we could say, and we're sleeping and we're not going on with God and we're not desiring to be closer walking with the Lord and we're not having that close and intimate communion with Him. And then when we eventually decide to stir from our sleep, we realize that actually the beloved has withdrawn himself and we are a lot further away from God than we thought we were. I don't know if you've ever read John Bunyan's book concerning the holy city and the city of man's soul and all of those things, the holy war. And some would have great words to speak about Pilgrim's Progress, and it is a wonderful book. But I prefer, to be honest, the holy war. And in that book, we find the image of King Emmanuel in man's soul, the city, a picture of our souls. And we find as characters come into man's soul, the wicked characters like Mr. Selfish and others like it, we find that eventually, as more and more sins creep in, that Prince Emmanuel, he withdraws himself. He withdraws himself from the palace. He withdraws himself to the gate. And before man's soul actually awakes, King Emmanuel, he's away. He's out of the walls altogether. I wonder, is that the problem, that we're sleeping when the Lord desires to meet with us, and when we eventually awake, he's withdrawn himself? And look at the verse 7 then. We find that there's consequences for the sleeping church, because then the bride, the beloved, eventually goes to seek him and goes seeking him in the wrong place. And it says in the verse 7, the watchman. Now, when we read of the watchman in Scripture, it is a picture of the preacher. It is a picture of the minister. It is a picture of the one that is to sound the warning cry when he sees danger. And it says in the verse 7, the watchman that went about the city found me. And that should be a good thing in ordinary circumstances, that the church has come back to that place where they're desiring the word. But it says, the watchman found me, and they smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. There we find a picture in the verse 7 of the apostasy. The fact that there's a desire then to come to the watchman, but they come to the wrong place, and this watchman smites her and soils her and is a danger to her. And you see time and time again the progression of events. The Lord has come and the church is sleeping. And the Lord has withdrawn himself. And the apostasy comes in. But then the wonderful parts of the verse are really the verses 8 onwards. Because after this encounter with the apostasy, we find that the church or the beloved has awoken and realized the danger she is in. And she goes seeking after Christ and says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love, that I am so in love with him, or that image of being lovesick. I'm head over heels in love with the altogether lovely one. And the question is posed in the verse 9 as we come closer and closer to that line in the verse 16. The question is posed in the verse 19. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And I wonder as we are asked, maybe in the workplace, or maybe in home, or among our friends, or whatever circle we may find ourselves in, and somebody looks you straight in the eye and says, why should I trust your Jesus? Why should I believe your Christ? It's the same question. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Why is he different? Why is he special? And then in the verses 10 through to 16, we find image after image after image of how Christ is different from any other beloved. And the summary comes at this as explanation is given after explanation. Eventually, the church can only cry out, not knowing what else to say, and closes by saying in the verse 16, yea, he is altogether lovely. There is nothing that is unlovely about him. He is altogether lovely. And this is my beloved, and this is my friend. And as we see the altogether lovely Jesus, we don't have time tonight to look at every description, but I want to just leave three of these descriptions with you. And we see in the verse 10, it says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. There you find a picture of Christ as the God-man. We see that image that he is white. That gives us the idea of perfect purity, sinlessness, impeccability. It gives us a picture of his divinity, that he is God. But also as we come to that picture that he is white and ruddy. The word ruddy indicates red. There is a picture of blood and a picture of his humanity. And there in the verse 10, we find that he is different from the others, because the first description is that my beloved is both God and man. He is white and he is ruddy. He is different from the rest, for he is the very Son of God. And that's why he's the chiefest among 10,000. Then in the verse 11, we find his head is as the most fine gold. Now that's a picture here. You think of Solomon's day, and in Solomon's day, to denote a prince or to denote a child of the king, they would have sprinkled gold dust on the hair of a prince. And then when the prince came into court, everybody would have looked at that individual and known that individual is different, because the gold dust is there. The image of royalty is there. And there's the picture of Christ, that he is our king. His head is as the most fine gold. And then we find in the verse 14 another picture. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. And the ivory, it can also be interpreted as a picture of the prophet's robes. And just in those three descriptions, and we see his humanity and the picture of red or ruddy of blood, you see an image there of our great high priest. And in the verse 11, the gold, you see an image of him as king. And in the verse 14, you imagine him and picture him in his ivory garments as our prophet. And there you see him just in three descriptions as prophet, priest, and king. And if we go no further, we can already say, yea, he is altogether lovely. There isn't anybody any more lovely than Christ. And what a truth it is tonight to know that when we look at our precious Savior, that we can say with the beloved of this portion, that this is my beloved. What a privilege, friend, to be, as Ephesians 1 tells us, accepted in the beloved. This is my beloved. And then this is my friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, beloved, look at it with me, please. As we come to the place of prayer tonight, I want you to note that the Lord has told us in the verse 5, I am come. I hope and pray that we don't respond with, I sleep. Because then there will be a withdrawing and a danger of apostasy. But rather, let us catch that glimpse of Christ. And let us look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith, our prophet, our priest, and our King. And let us come bowing before Him tonight in the place of prayer, lifting up our voices, seeing His beauty, seeing His impeccability, His sinlessness, saying, yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. We trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to each of our hearts for His own name's sake.